You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 337. So many superhero suits, and what to wear. A look at Legends 5. And welcome to episode 337 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I'm Paul French, and today I am Bat Mitzvah Boy. Yeah, roll that around the grape for a couple of minutes.
Goodness. But
we spent the first part of the weekend. My friend Bobby, his daughter, had her Bat Mitzvah, and so we went to that. And I feel as though I am still there. So let me tell you, and sitting through it with two young children, whoa. But you would have loved it, Darren, because the cake was all rainbow.
Was it? Oh, my God.
Actually, the whole thing was a rainbow theme. So you went downstairs and they had these huge dream catchers on the walls, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. And then the cake, well, I sent you a picture of the cake, but they had the, cause she had done the prayer shawl and she had done it up with this rainbow theme cause she loves rainbows. Yeah. And of course, my kid loves rainbows as well. So she was just entranced by the cake. And then she goes to cut the first piece of the cake, and as she pulls the knife back, you realize it's seven layers in there,
mm-hmm.
one for each color.
Of course.
And I thought Ella's eyes were gonna pop out of her head when she saw that. And she said, and she just looked at me and she said, "Daddy, can we stay here for another minute?" In other words, I want some of this
cake. And I want the cake.
And afterwards, she ate a piece of this cake that I swear was almost as big as her head.
Oh, I'm sure.
And after, she's walking around with Sarah, just sort of leading her around. And every couple of minutes, they end up back up at the cake. And so I went up, and it's like, let's leave the cake alone. I was more worried about Sarah reaching up and grabbing the knife.
Yeah, seriously.
And she says, "Daddy, Sarah wanted to come over to the cake." And it's like, yes. Mm-hmm. Sarah wanted to come over to the cake.
To mm-hmm. I think
it's more Ella saying, "Sarah, do you want to go see the cake?" And she's just like, "Yeah, okay."
Dragging her along with her. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
Why not?
So that was the probably the bulk of the weekend between that, and then of course it's right near where my mom lives, so we went and visited her for the afternoon.
Of course.
And by the time we got back, we were tired.
Well, I'm assuming they sugar buzzed and crashed, right?
Oh yeah. The kids were out. Actually, to be fair, so was Jan.
Woo!
Yeah. So, I just got Ella down to bed, and I went into our room, and Jan's like under the covers, like done.
Good night. Just bloody well. Good night.
Exactly. Yeah,
totally. I love it.
Indeed. Love it. Rainbow cake, sir.
I had a rainbow cake one year. I made one. It wasn't nearly as pretty as the picture you showed me, because I was the Julia Child method of baking, you know, one for the cake, one for me.
Yes.
You know. All right, I am Darren Noel, and I am what the fuck Indiana kid today, because, well, you know, just, you know. If you know me, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, you know, not watching the news, you really should be, because people want to take us back to the 1950s and 60s.
What?
And yes. And not in the good way. Not in that, you know, dark, black and white, idyllic, Leave It to Beaver, everyone's perfect kind of way, even though no one is. I'm talking about the dark, yeah, only straight white men have rights if they're Christians.
Mm.
So everyone should be well aware of what your state legislatures are trying to do in multiple states, including my own. And you should try to fight that as much as you can at the local level and the state level. Do your research. tell companies from these areas you will not support them, including my own. Should our people here decide to pass a similar law, I'll be the first to tell you, don't buy a Coke. And, uh-oh. Paul's getting a major booty call there. What on earth? Oh, I get it now.
Yeah. Yeah, there was an ad at the beginning of it. It was like, oh, damn it.
What is that? I thought it was your phone or something. No,
no, I'm just bringing us into this. This is where we are, apparently.
The 1950s. Yeah, lovely.
Clutch your pearls, Darren. Clutch your pearls.
I know. Where every woman does all the housework in a lovely Sunday dress with pearls and an apron, has the drink ready for the husband when he hits the door along with his pipe. No one knows about lung cancer yet. It's a perfect, perfect world. Yeah.
Hey,
no.
Is that
we've evolved a little bit since then. We've had some growing pains, and we should get over ourselves and our fake superiority. But I am thrilled with what I've seen out there on social media, and thank God for social media. Everyone who has decided to rise up against this type of action, including Indiana's constituency, many businesses, many fellow geeks, Gen Con, I want to tip my hat to you for starting that ball rolling with the geek community, saying, you know, we have LGBT people who come to our convention, and if we're going to have to be in Indiana, we want to make sure that they will be treated equally, and this law does not do that. I appreciate it. I've never been to Gen Con, but I will make the effort to go now, because nice. I know for sure that you guys are in my pocket, in my corner, so to speak, I guess. And I was very proud of Dragon Con, which is the big convention here, saying the same thing to our legislature, basically, about their outlook on a religious freedom bill, which is anything but. It's this misnomer where they name these bills these nice looking things that have absolutely nothing to do with what they named the bill for.
Oh yes, yes.
You know, like the nature indemnification act. No, no. What was it? John Stewart said, "No, no. We use that to poison the water." Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah, can't use that that's one. Right. No.
I was thinking when you said that, I was thinking I heard something with this.
Yeah, it was John Stewart.
Yeah.
John Stewart. Save John Stewart. He's our most important Jew. I firmly believe that. thank you, Seth MacFarlane. but yeah, it's been a rough week. It's always a rough week here. They tabled the meeting that was supposed to happen on Monday. They canceled it, supposedly, about this bill. Of course, that does not mean that there will not be some shenanigans, some balderdash and chicanery at the last minute to try to push it through. They have two more days, business days, to get this done, and usually the legislature works until the midnight of the last day. So I'll be up late that night waiting to see what happens. So,
indeed.
That's where my heroics are going right now. Well, on top of that, work, school, wash, rinse, repeat. Yeah, usual. Getting ready to graduate.
Huzzah!
These little things, you know.
Huzzah.
Exactly. Huh, frickin' doodazah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we do have Legion news, Polly.
We do. Like,
let's get off the politics cast here.
Take a drink, oh, kids. Take a drink.
I've been drinking most of the day. I don't know who's driving me to it, but I have.
Well, so it is a look at the 50 cities of convergence.
I know, right?
So, what have I done? Oh.
Detroit.
I'm kind of digging this. Yeah, so who's who in convergence? This is it. The entire DC universe from the dawn of time through the new 52 must fight to survive against a threat that bends the multiverse to its will. Your favorite characters from every era and forgotten series are all here. But are you going to say hello again just to say goodbye forever?
Probably.
Maybe. stakes have never been higher as every crisis, Zero Hour, Elseworld, and more is brought together for convergence. So who's who in convergence? With Brainiac stealing cities from across time and space, it's a good bet you'll see more than a few surprises along the way. We are talking about infinite worlds, after all. to help guide your way across the battlefield, we put together a guide to some of these cities. Is your favorite here? DC 1 million? Check. Superboy in the 30th century? What?
Yes.
Check. Casey the Cop? Check. All right. Hey, there was the one with Scribbly. Yeah,
it's the Sugar and Spike world.
It's the Seven Soldiers of Victory that Paul Levitz is writing. And there's a whole Scribbly framing sequence with I can't wait for this. We talked a bit about some of the Convergence books that we were gonna check out, and this was not on my radar. But then I read the interview with Levitz about his issue, and I thought I can't wait to check this out because it's basically a bunch of Golden Age characters that are kind of being this is their end
Seven Soldiers. It's not like they're gonna
right, but then he's got a this framing sequence with Scribbly,
mm-hmm.
which was of course a Shelley Mayer thing. So yeah. I can't wait to read this. It's gonna be awesome. Anyway, so yes, it happens now in Convergence. So we're gonna look at some of the worlds, and the first two are near and dear to our hearts
right off the bat. Man.
Yeah. So the first one, pre-crisis 30th century Metropolis, Adventure 247, baby. So yes, first appearance, Adventure 247, 1958, Cosmic Boy, Lightning Lad, Saturn Girl, and the greatest young heroes called from all over the galaxy they need to stay away from the word called. have founded the Legion of Superheroes, inspired and joined by the greatest hero of the 20th century, Clark Kent, Superboy.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get 31st century Metropolis. When the United Planets confront menaces that threaten the cosmos, they seek help from a plethora of super-powered young people banded together as the Legion of Superheroes.
First, look at that. We see Dragon Mage and Cat's Paw and Computo.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them in ages.
And even better, we see them drawn by Chris Sprouse.
I know.
So that the first appearance here is, of course, Legionnaires number one in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
853rd century Metropolis, which of course we know from DC 1 million. This one first appeared in Action Comics 1 million. The Milky Way galaxy is patrolled by Justice Legion Alpha, heroes who have taken the names of the great heroes of the Justice League, of which Superman Prime is the last and still surviving original member. Then Atlanta, Georgia.
Shut your mouth, sir. We have no problems here.
The roar of engines and the dust of the endless road choke the atmosphere of the world of Hex.
They know about our traffic issues.
Yeah, it's a time of road warriors. It's not the end of the world, but you can see it from here.
I guess we couldn't put this in Australia, huh?
Bizarro World, of course, which first appeared in Action Comics 263, Tales of the Bizarro World. The illogical inhabitants of this square planet... I couldn't see it properly.
I thought it does not roll off the tongue.
No, hate beauty and love ugliness is big crime to make anything perfect on Bizarro World.
It's like, where's Zatanna when you need her? We need her to read that copy.
Yeah, and of course, 1958 was a good year because we also got the Bottle City of Kandor,
which makes complete sense considering the whole premise of this.
Oh, totally, totally. Yeah,
the Kandorians, I'm thinking Nightwing and Flamebirder gonna be toast.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's funny. I was just reading. Ella was asking me because I have the Nightwing and Flamebird book, and she saw it sitting out, and she said, "Daddy, who are they?" And I said, "Well, it's Nightwing and Flamebird, and
which one?"
She didn't have that question yet, but I explained to her that it started out as the Batman and Robin of the Bottle City of Kandor. So she asked me to explain the Bottle City to her, and then I said, yeah, so they were like the Batman and Robin, and the first time around it was Superman and Jimmy Olsen, and she was just wow. She's far more interested in that incarnation than Van Zee and Akvar. Is it Akvar? Mm-hmm.
Banzi and Akvar.
Yeah, Akvar.
And there were two female characters that joined them on some adventures, I believe. At least on the Super Friends. I remember seeing them on several.
What?
Yeah, the Kandorians made appearances on the Super Friends.
Wow.
They did. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure they did. A few times.
Very interesting.
A few times.
Then we have Cap's Hobby Shop World. Yeah.
Worst comic ever. No.
A world suspended in an innocent, a more innocent time where Casey the cop walks a beat on Main Street and Binky takes his dates to the soda shop. Basically, it's Planet Sheldon Mayer.
It's Sheldon Mayer.
Yeah.
Sugar and Spike and everything nice.
Yeah, yeah. See, I want to check that out too.
I gotta say, right?
I loved that stuff. I remember when they did the digest of the Sugar and Spike stuff. Mm-hmm.
Aren't, you know, books coming out. These are just the world, the cities.
No, I realize that, but
so.
But surely we're going to see this city at some point.
You're going to see that city, and don't call me Shirley.
Oh, hey, nice. Central City Tangent Universe.
I love the Tangent Universe. I think that was a brilliant idea.
Yeah, I have some of it still, and I haven't read much of it. I know I read The Flash and the Green Lantern, Tales of the Green Lantern.
But it was like, take the concept and then completely go away from the original character.
Yeah.
A bit. I mean, if the name makes sense, it's like, okay.
Yeah, cool. Exactly. Yeah, it's neat. Dervale, a post-apocalyptic future. The Atomic Knights protect the decimated population remaining on the mutated landscape following the Great Disaster. Mm-hmm. And we know that the Legion
will be dealing with the Atomic Knights.
Exactly. Earth 2, post-Flashpoint Universe. A parallel world on another vibratory plane to our own, where the heroes of the planet fought and lost to the invading armies of Apocalypse.
And see, that this one worries me a little bit, because I'm like, are we saying Earth 2, I guess, is over? Now that they've been captured by Brainiac? Because it seems to still be selling rather well, doesn't it?
Didn't they get broken, though?
I'm not sure.
I think they got broken.
Okay.
I think that's what I think their world ended, because they had the series called Earth 2 World's End. I don't know if they're finding another Earth 2. That's something I'd heard.
We're just moving towards a gigantic reboot, which frankly I'd be just pleased with. So.
Yeah. I don't know.
Earth A stands for Earth Ass, by the way. I'm kidding.
Does it? Oh, well, it's an altered world where the nascent Justice League was corrupted to become the Lawless League, superpowered criminals.
Mm-hmm. Not the same thing as Earth 3.
No. And so this came out of Justice League of America number 37.
Yeah, one of the early JLA-JSA crossovers.
Yeah. Then there's Earth C-.
Yes!
Which,
just
of course,
a lot of animals.
Just a lot of animals. That's right. Basically, Rodney Rabbit, Captain Carrot, used to draw this comic, and of course, he was channeling, as were all comic writers, channeling an alternate universe, and so Earth C minus, because he was, of course, from Earth C, so Earth C minus was what the one that had Super Squirrel, Wonder Wabbit, yeah, etc.
Aqueduct, the Crash, Batmouse.
Yep.
Martian Anteater. The green lambskin, I think, or something like that. Yeah,
the green lambkin. Yeah,
lambkin. Yeah. So yeah, that's one of my favorite funny comic moments ever.
Yeah,
because they wrote them completely serious, of course. Yeah, you know, which made it even funnier.
So. Exactly. Then there's the one from that stems out of Justice Riders, the 1997 Elseworlds from Chuck Dixon and J.H. Williams. The Justice Riders, it's called El Inferno. The Justice Riders saddle up to rustle the owl hoots of the Lawless West.
One that's a tie-in with the Court of Owls.
Hmm. Oh, could be.
I've never heard of the owl hoots. So.
I had to explain. Well, I think it's more of a term like Yahoo's. Because it's not capitalized. So I think it's more of a.
True.
Could be wrong.
I have no clue. So
The next one is Electropolis. First appearance, Crisis on Infinite Earths number 4, 1985. Lady Quark and Lord Volt, it's mm-hmm. their place. Then Fawcett City Earth S, we'll be dealing a little bit with
Shazam Pyle.
So that of course, Fawcett City from Earth S, first appeared in Wiz Comics number 2. Follywood, California, which is where Captain Carrot and his amazing zoo crew could be found. Pre-crisis Earth 1 Gotham City, planetary hub of the DC Universe. This nexus spawned the greatest wave of heroes ever, beginning with the Justice League of America.
For that.
Pre-Flashpoint, Gotham City. All good things come to an end, and the age of heroes on this world crashes and burns in a flashpoint. This one, they say, basically, first appearance, zero hour number zero. So, in other words, it's the post-zero hour, but pre-Flashpoint.
But not post-Infinite Crisis?
Well, it was post-post-Infinite Crisis.
Oh, not pre-Infinite Crisis? Because zero hour is pre-Infinite Crisis, so just saying.
What? Oh, pre-Infinite Crisis. No, you're right. Yeah, I get you.
Pre-Infinite Crisis, not post-zero hour.
Yeah.
Wobbly, timey-wimey.
Flashpoint Gotham City. So this would, I guess, be the Thomas Wayne Gotham City. Yeah,
I don't think so.
Gotham City Batman Beyond universe.
You know what's going to happen in that Flashpoint thing? Thomas Wayne's going to see his son on any Earth, and he's going to cry, and fanboys are going to scream.
Yes, they will.
Yeah, they will.
Because that's what they do.
That's what they do.
Gotham City Gaslight universe from Gotham by Gaslight. Mm-hmm. Gotham City Injustice universe. Freaking Injustice managed to get some play.
It's a popular series.
This is what I hear.
It's a really great game, and it's pretty good.
Gotham City from the Just Imagine universe.
Excelsior.
I haven't read any of that Just Imagine Stan Lee stuff.
That it's weird. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely the flavor of Stan Lee, but not in a bad way. You know, you can see him trying to here's where I stick it to Superman. But, you know, he's just making up new stories about these heroes in a different light.
Well, to me, it seems kind of like the idea of the Tangent Universe, basically.
Yeah, it's basically the same kind of thing.
Tied to a particular creative vision. But also, it just seems to me one of those things. It's like, I guess I never read it, mainly not that I wasn't interested to see how Stan would approach the DCU, but more because I read Ravage 2099.
The 90s were a dark age. Mom.
Yeah.
We know this. I mean, Bloodsport, come on.
Well, this stuff came out 2001, so it wasn't that much.
It wasn't that far removed. Yeah. Come on.
Exactly. Then there's Gotham City post-Flashpoint universe. Hey, you want to talk about Court of Owls? That's where those guys are.
That's
where
they will be, yeah.
Gotham City Red Rain universe. I noticed Gotham City coming up a lot.
Could it be Batman sells books?
What?
I don't know what I'm talking about. Let's move on.
So, Red Rain of super-powered vampires. Hub City, Earth 4.
Yeah, Earth 4.
I
had to say that for Scotty since he's not here.
Oh yeah, you went a little robot there doing it.
I tried to. Yeah.
So you sounded like Cher. You sounded like Cher. Do you believe in love after love?
It's life after love, Paul.
Oh, shocking that you knew the Cher lyrics better than I did.
Please.
So Blue Beetle, The Question, and Captain Atom stand watch over city on the edge of technology, a hub of progress.
And they'll be taken over by the Watchmen characters.
Yeah. Pre-Crisis Earth 2 Metropolis.
Yeah.
So that's the one that it says here. Now this is interesting because basically
that's Golden Age Superman.
Yes, yeah. It is. Now they show Superman issue number one, of course. But of course, we didn't know about Earth 2 until Flash 123.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Although we didn't know about Earth 2, but according to DC and its publishing history, Martian Manhunter came out way before that book, and Martian Manhunter only exists on one Earth. Just saying, kids.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. Well, it was the idea that.
Oh, I know. I just find it amusing. I look at it sideways, going.
Because at the end of the day, Earth 2 was a retcon.
Oh, totally.
And this is what people need to remember. The idea of Earth 2 was a retcon, and it was
and a brilliant retcon was.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Then there's pre-Zero Hour Metropolis, which is of course first appearance.
Post-Crisis.
Yeah, so Crisis on Infinite Earths 12, but pre-Zero Hour, and that's because they're basically the way to think about this is they're going to have stuff that's pre-Crisis, stuff that's post-Crisis. Pre-Zero Hour, stuff that's post-Zero Hour, presumably pre-Infinite Crisis, and then stuff that's post-Infinite Crisis, pre-Flashpoint.
Pre-Flashpoint.
Right, is that four or five. So pre-crisis, post-crisis, post-zero hour.
Everything post-Flashpoint is New 52.
Yeah, right. So basically what they've done is they've kind of conflated zero hour through right to Flashpoint, just in it, because they've got 4 weeks to do this.
And I would argue that pre-zero hour Metropolis, it's a nitpicky thing, actually appearing in Crisis on Infinite Earths 11 first, not 12.
Hey, if we weren't going to nitpick this stuff, why would we be doing this show?
I know, right?
Right? All right, Metropolis Earth 3. Well, we know all about that.
Yeah, we know all about that.
Yeah, then there's Metropolis Kingdom Come Universe.
Yeah, that's a really good series.
Yeah.
I think I would worry if some of those villains were to get out into the other cities, especially the Sheldon Mayer one. That would be a bloodbath.
Yeah, not good. Not good.
No, not good at all.
Metropolis from the Superman Generations universe. So the descendants of Superman and Batman inherit more than their father's names and their mantles. They inherit their mission. Do you ever read the Generation stuff?
I have not, actually.
I've read the first series and the second series. I'm not sure if there was more beyond that.
Mm-hmm. It's an imaginary tale, though. So
what? Yeah, well, but aren't they all, Darren? But aren't they all?
By the way, listeners out there, I can tell you something. I have read the Multiversity Ultra, and Paul has not yet.
Yeah.
So when I say it's an imaginary tale, you know what I mean. He doesn't. So.
Damn you! I'm gonna have to pause.
Hey, Paul! Don't read that comic. Do not read that comic, sir. Put it down.
I can't not read it.
Put it down.
Right. Metropolis, Superman Red Blue Universe. Even the Man of Steel cannot achieve all the massive goals set before him. To fulfill his ambitions, even he must become two people, and the world has changed as a result.
Look at the cute super tights.
Oh, my God.
I want to read about the super tights.
Then there's Moscow, Russia from Superman Red Sun, number one.
Red Sun. Yes.
Red Sun. New York City, 35 years later, post-Flashpoint universe. This would be.
This does not look good for our heroes.
It's the thing that we saw in the first issue of Future's End. That was the whole reason. Batman Beyond. I know. Yeah. I know. We're supposed to just call him Batman. I'm gonna call him Batman Beyond.
He's Batman Beyond.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, you know what? If he had a Jerry curl, he could be Batman Beyonder. anyway, so this is the one that he went back to stop. Then New York City, Angor. So this would be the extremists, and of course, Blue Jay.
Blue Jay, One Gina, Silver Sorceress as part of the Justice League Europe.
Yes, exactly. That was
from the dimension Excelsior. So. Okay.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, because they were basically Avengers analogs from way back.
Well, and the villains were, villain analogs. Lord Havoc was Dr. Doom. And
yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah. But, I mean, it was when they were doing, when they used to do those, because, of course, they had appeared in a Justice League issue many years before. Many years before Justice League Europe, and they were kind of brought back for that and used to in great form. But the whole idea of it was one of those quote unquote unofficial crossovers between DC and Marvel, where it was like, hey, I'm going to do characters that are just like yours. You should totally do characters that are just like mine.
My cars.
Yeah. Nice you know, day. Like Jerry Conway and Roy Thomas used to do all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, all you have to do is look at the Freedom Fighters with, Bob Rozakis with the Freedom Fighters, where he had them fighting the Crusaders, who were basically the Invaders. Anyway, New York
and,
City.
And of course, Squadron Supreme being the ultimate
analog
team, I think. Even with, was it the Shi'ar Guard, the Imperial Guard being the Legion analogs?
Yeah, so.
New
York City, Earth AD. This is, of course, Commandy's world.
The last boy.
And speaking of the Freedom Fighters, New York City, Earth X. This is actually making me want to pick up a few other ones.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Quard, the Antimatter Universe. San Diego, California, as first demonstrated to us in Wildcats number one. Scartaris, mm-hmm. or Scartaris, or however Scartaris. You want to say it. Scartaris.
A warlord.
Yeah. And Vanishing Point, Wave Riders hangout.
Mm-hmm. No, they're not done yet.
No, there's no. Rage. Then there is, of course, the Darkest Night universe from Mike W. Barr and Jerry Bingham's Batman in Darkest Night, where Bruce Wayne becomes Earth's Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, of course, another Elseworlds. Dream World, which was the more psychedelic version of Heroes seen on Earth Zero. This first showed up in Animal Man number 23.
Because Buddy liked to eat the mushrooms.
Thank you, Mr. Morrison. Oh, that was so good. Earth Prime.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So this world has zero super beings, but somehow has the power to influence every other world in the multiverse. Mm-hmm.
Well, there is one super being on Earth Prime still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Prepare, kids, prepare.
Yeah,
I would not be surprised.
I've got to pick up. So they first I've never read that issue of Flash 179. I'm going to check that out. And then there's the League of Shadows universe from Doom Patrol 53. In this universe, magic and science walk hand in hand as the most powerful heroes wage a mystical cosmic war against one another.
And that's not a surprise to see that version of Doom Patrol coming back in a Grant Morrison led event. So
indeed. You want to hit the next couple?
Sure. Yeah. The Little League universe, where cartoon physics run this world of cutesy versions of Earth Zero's heroes and population. I love the cutesy heroes. I do. Yeah. I love the little guys. I'm a big fan of, like, the X-Babies, when Mojo used to do that.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
You know? I'm like, I think that's just adorable. New Frontier universe, where it's that odd era between the Golden Age and the Silver Age, where we are fighting McCarthyism and each other.
That book is so good. Mm-hmm. So good. And I remember gushing about it to Darwin Cook when he signed my copy and drew a really cool Green Lantern sketch in the front of it. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, this just, you know, this, you know, it took me back and pushed me forward, because it had so much of the nostalgic elements, but it was also like, wow, look what you can do with this. Mm-hmm. And he just said, come on. It's kind of like covering the Beatles.
Well, away,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
So, the pirate universe where Batman is Kevin Costner in Waterworld. Okay.
Oh my, that's God, that's right. That was horrible.
I hope that one gets erased. Elseworlds Finest, Supergirl and Batgirl, the reverse gender universe. Let's hear for Rule 63 cosplay. Yeah. love it. I think it's beginning to become such a big thing that they're like, oh, you know what, we should do that, we should do more of this. The Super Sons universe, where the sons of Superman and Batman strive to find meaning in a world where their father's shadows are impossible to outgrow. Oh, it sounds like that would be a good match for the next generation Superman and Batman story, doesn't it?
Very much, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Twilight universe.
Oh, and now I understand what, because they just recently issued Twilight in trade. And so I of course picked it up because I've got to give Murray his copies back at some point.
Thank you, Dom.
And hey, Murray, I'll give you your copies back whenever you're ready.
No, don't give him his copies back.
He's gonna hear this tomorrow. And
if you do give him his comics bags, I insist that you put little paper penises on every page. No reason.
I'll see what I can do.
Thank you. because this Earth had super beings earlier than most Earths, the journey to the stars and beyond developed quickly and led to an interstellar utopia. And that is all the little cities that are going to be, you know, involved in convergence. So it sounds like we're going to have some Legion stuff to talk about pretty soon, kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully it won't be bad Legion stuff. But, you know, I will make a prediction now. And I'm, of course, none of it's come out yet. I'll make a prediction that all the Legion worlds will be ending and Legion will get a full reboot.
I think I would be willing to I would be willing to place dollars toward that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just think they need the right team to do it.
Definitely.
So, but that's my bet. So.
And I'm not sure who that is at this stage.
I don't know either. Yeah. I really don't. So hopefully there are some submissions and there are some pitches going on.
Exactly.
Because, you know, they do this a year ahead of time now. So, come on. They got to have some kind of a plan at this point, you'd hope, right? Oh, silly Darren.
I don't know. I think once the rumors of a movie flew, they probably did start soliciting mm-hmm. some pitches.
They probably did.
All right, so...
Can you just see them? And then he's like, Guardians of the Galaxy, what? Legion, let's go! Who knows? We get an LEGION movie. You know, that's kind of like 30 dozen hour space, isn't it? Just saying. That's more Guardians of the Galaxy than Legion is, I think, in tone at least. You know,
Dirty Dozen in outer space.
Dirty Dozen in outer space.
I gotta say, I kind of dig that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Are you digging it, Paul?
I'm digging it. All right.
And we'll get a Prez short in front of it, since you're digging it with Brunt Power.
All right, hang on. Just flipping back around to the book.
So,
sorry, I had to also just quickly buy a copy of Flash 179 so that I can read that first appearance.
Is that why I had to do those last couple? Okay.
Hey, I can multitask to a certain degree, but let's not get crazy with it.
Are you a multi-man? No.
No.
Other company. No, you can't do that.
All right, so
don't we?
What?
Yeah, we have a multi-man. I'm thinking Madrox. Never mind.
Multiple man. He's multiple man.
Tourette's.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Multi man. Oh,
ooh,
I'm channeling Micro Man. You know, with and Yuck
Coil
the dog.
Man. Remember, Fluid Man.
Yuck the dog.
Ooh, not Yuck the dog. No.
Yeah, he was Micro Man's.
That's right. That Micro Man. I was thinking about the Impossibles, but that was Multi Man. Multi Man, Coil Man, and Fluid Man.
What?
I'll post them to the page. You'll see. It's a little cartoon that came on in the 60s. So.
Huh.
I watched a lot of TV as a child. Not well.
Clearly. All right, so we've got a City in Flames.
Flames on the side of my face.
Where there's going to be a G. Gordon Godfrey rally speaking on the menace of the superhero. Billy Batson's there, and we get a flashback, yes, once again, to Macro Man.
Oh, my God.
We get it.
He's dead.
Superheroes is dangerous. Mm-hmm. And he's all freaked out about it. And then we, Billy, thank heaven I found you. And it's Lisa. Yeah.
That's the girl who...
Oh, right. Yes. Okay, sorry, it's been a while. Right.
Like, who the hell's Lisa? Oh, that's that girl. Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember now. So he says, you know, just go away, leave me alone. She says, no way, Billy, I'm going to help you to, hey, what's going on out there? And he says, I don't want you to get hurt, which means, of course, she's about to get hurt.
Of course.
And so she's, no, someone has to reason with them. And she gets out there and takes some shrapnel to the noggin.
Ow.
And so he gets her to a safe place, and he says, those lunatics could have killed her. They could have, maybe she was right, maybe the world does need superheroes, and if only to save it from the insanity. And so, of course, he says that one magic word.
Please?
Shamhaz. Wait.
Oh.
Hamshaz. No, wait.
Shazbot.
No, you old fool, it's Shazam. And the magic word is spoken, and the out comes the mystical light, and there he is. Captain Marvel.
Looking very, very buff, I must say. That is the Captain Marvel right there.
And very C.C. Beckish. You know, he's got like
the squinty eye.
The Fred McMurray eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, for better or worse, I'm back and I'm here to stay. Of course, this is brought to us by John Ostrander, plotter, Len Wein, scripter, John Byrne, penciler, Carl Kiesel, inker, Steve Haney, letterer, Tom Ziocco, colorist, and Mike Gold, editor. So he says, holy moly, and now that I have the wisdom of Solomon again, I realize I've been had. My mystic lightning wasn't responsible for Macro Man's death. It was all an elaborate hoax.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, he's got the wisdom of Solomon now, Darren.
Mm. I think someone mackinawed that Duex.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Just saying.
Deus Ex.
Billy's apparently an idiot. Catch Marvel's apparently.
Yeah. And the crowd's going crazy, and they see him, and they're like, "Get him!" And he says, "You guys know what you're doing." He goes, "Holy moly! They've stopped moving. They're frozen in place."
Holy moly!
And that's all because Dr. Fate is making with the
Harbinger stuff,
the magic hoodoo. Now, I should mention again, one of the things I love most about the New Frontier is it managed to put a Dr. Fate toy up on my wall here. So,
oh, I know. I love that Dr. Fate figure.
It's so fucking great. Anyway, and then we see Black Canary in her new outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah, headbands.
Headbands. Let's get physical.
It is totally.
What was this? 1980. When did this come out? 86, 87, 88?
Yeah.
Something like that? 88?
It was.
88, 89?
No, it was before that. This was 86. Yeah. Well, it was right after Crisis, so it was like 86.
86, okay. Yeah. So Let's Get Physical was the number one hit in the late 70s.
No, early 80s. Really? 1981.
Late 80s?
1981.
81, so they're 5 years behind on the headband.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. I was, because I remember I was in sixth grade at the time, and
were you getting physical, Paul?
Well, they used to put it on every morning to do the participation stuff, you know, they get up, get moving kind of thing first thing in the morning, and our teachers were trying to be cool. And so they were putting, you know, that hip new thing that's on the radio right now, Physical by Olivia Newton-John. So he would pull out the record, drop the needle, and away we would go.
What is this ancient technology you're talking about here?
I know. So
Black Canary is kicking some ass.
Yeah, sure. She is. Then she's told she's needed. Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Dr. Fate is Harbinger.
Yeah, good old Dr. Fate. So he's gathering people up. You're right. I see what you were saying. It was kind of a Crisis Redux.
Yeah, Crisis number one redo.
Yeah. Then we switch to L.A., and there's a guy named Sunspot.
No relation to the to the New Mutant, I'm sure.
Who had been around for many years by this point.
Not really, yeah.
And he's, the one person on Earth who has a worse haircut than Guy Gardner.
I know, right? It's like Battle of the Bowl cuts.
Who manages to stop him because he's, of course, the one true Green Lantern. And the other guy picks up, like, a big oil tanker. And, anyway, so Guy manages to take him out. He poinks a little hole in the tanker and blinds the guy. And
Now, Guy's not known for his brains, but come on, that was hilarious.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a great solution. And, of course, he manages to keep himself covered with a ring-based force shield. And he says, you remind me of several of the ultimate power types I know. My so-called fellow Green Lanterns, all of them like you, sound full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Wow, that's pretty philosophical for Guy.
It is, but this was early, before they really defined him. So,
but even then, he was a high school gym teacher.
True. He probably had to sub for a class or two.
There you go. All right. So anyway, he manages to one point burn off what?
Well, the villain guy shackles his ankle, and the villain's trying to blast Guy, and it's not working. So he's like, "Well, I just need to free myself." And he tries to burn the green energy off, and ends up incinerating his leg instead. First day with new powers,
exactly. And then, of course, he's drawn out by Dr. Fate, and then we have Blue Beetle. He's put Cronus behind bars, back where he belongs, and he says, "I still don't know the secret of the master plan he was talking about."
Master plan.
And that makes him nervous, real nervous. So he says, I defied the executive order so I could track down that treacherous time thief. Hey, speaking of Blue Beetle, the Showcase Presents, it collects the entire Len Wein, Paris Cullen series of Blue Beetle. It's worth getting.
I'm going to have to get some Showcases. Yeah.
Seriously, that's a good one. That's a good one. It's that entire series of this character as written by the guy who's writing them right now. Because Len Wein, of course, wrote that series and is the scripter on this issue.
You know what, Blue Beetle, this whole little scene makes me hunger for? I'm going to go read the Countdown issue. That one, his one final shining moment. Oh. You know?
That's a hard read for me now.
It's a hard read for me too, but he went out bravely.
He did. You know what?
And that, you know, I can deal with that.
For a character who ended up becoming a bit of a punchline.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. All right. So he accidentally peeps in on a woman who is not happy about it, and then.
Yay!
But fortunately, then... cute tush, though. And then, of course, Dr. Fate comes in and takes him in. And then some guy, black, you know, sort of gray outfit, black cowl. Not sure who this is. But he still has the yellow oval around his insignia. There's, of course, Batman, who ends up, he's kind of giving some thought to this whole thing about Godfrey and what trouble he is and what he's doing to the, you know, the cities, as it were. And then Dr. Fate says, Batman, you are needed. Meanwhile, New York City.
New York City?
Exactly. Gonna have some paste salsa.
Please, please.
Yeah. You know, you've got Changeling out there. I think he was still Changeling at the time, was he not?
Yeah. Yes, he was Changeling. Yeah.
Out there with Flash, dealing with a crazy mob. And there he is, Captain Boomerang. Good old Boomer Butt.
I'm not doing the accent tonight. Sorry,
kids. No, it's just as well. And
it's so wrong.
So they managed to take out a couple of these doohickeys. And then... Changing realizes, hey, there were people inside these things making them run. And Captain Boomerang says, well, that's a mistake I can easily correct for next time if they don't back off and leave us alone. And of course the folks are the rabble are being roused. But then they turn on Captain Boomerang and they're going after him.
Well, that's because he killed the two people in the thing. And they're like, oh, down with muties.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, exactly. And they grab him and they're kind of tossing him around and they say, take him to Godfrey. Godfrey will know what to do.
Yeah.
And... and hey, I gotta like this. So Changeling's like, cripes, will you look at that? And Flash says, I don't believe it. It's like something out of the Dark Ages. And Changeling says, Monty Python was right, pal. No one expects the Spanish Inquisition.
It's true.
Thank you, Gar Logan. Take a drink.
Yay for Monty Python references.
Yeah. But they get
you
stopped.
You know what, Paul?
What?
Changeling, you know what he reminds me of? A shrubbery.
Absolutely.
Take another drink. Yeah,
why not? Yeah. He is a knight who says knee. All right, Dr. Fate comes and he takes them in as well. Then we are transferred to the Oval Office where Superman is talking to the president. And
that's a really weirdly drawn George Bush.
George
H.W. The first there. I don't know who that is on the front. Is that...
I'm going to assume it's whoever the chief of staff was at the time.
Yeah, could be.
So they say, yeah, all across America, the situation is getting worse and worse. And like yourself, most of your fellow costume crime fighters have chosen to ignore my restraining order. He says, the result has been rioting and chaos. And he says, well, that's truly regrettable, Mr. President. What have you done about it? And he says, well, I tried sending in the military, but that didn't work, since most of the soldiers quickly defected over to Godfrey's side. And then he kind of nods off for a bit.
And then Nancy called the astrologer.
and now we've started to receive reports of various superheroes suddenly disappearing all around the country. And he starts to say that it could be the work of Darkseid, of course. Dr. Fate comes in behind and says, "Hey, how about come with me?" And he says that you are needed, and they are gone. We switch back to Metropolis. Godfrey is getting his groove on.
He's rousing the rabble.
Yeah,
this is his job.
This is what he does.
Hate speech. Gotta love it. It's what America lives off of. Dear God.
Yeah. So anyway, so he does his thing, and they bring out Captain Boomerang, and he's, I'm warning you, Cobbers. You'll be sorry if you don't let me go. And he says, you can't do this to me. I got my rights. And he says, ah, yes, the first bastion of the truly evil, to seek sanctuary among the very rights he has struggled to destroy. And so he says, and what shall we do with this boreful sinner, my friends? Hang him, burn him, feed him to the warhounds.
He's a witch.
What else floats? Small rocks.
A duck.
Exactly. Oh, they're making it so easy. And so basically, Boomer's like, I got friends, and if they know what's good for them, they'll get me out of this now. And so, of course, Godfrey's saying, government unwilling to enforce the will of its people has lost the right to the authority to govern. Onward then, my friends, to Washington and victory. And Waller and Steele are watching this on TV, and
that's,
it's
not
like,
Steel.
Oh, sorry, that's sorry, it's Flag. Rick, yeah, Flag, no, you're right. Sir. Why was I thinking Steel?
5 yards on the play. Come on.
Oh, man. You know what? I got so used to Rick in the yellow T-shirt with the shoulder holster.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. It's like
he's in a trench coat and a suit. What's up with this? Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That's not Rick Flag. And of course, we see Bronze Tiger and Enchantress in the background as well, and Waller is saying, Boomerang's threats were obviously aimed at us, and their implication couldn't be more clear. Either we go out and rescue him, or he'll blow the lid off Task Force X, and that's something we can't allow. So Flag says, what do you suggest we do about it, Waller, Mrs. Waller? And she says, what do you think I'm suggesting, Colonel? And she's basically, you know, you and the others rescue Boomerang or eliminate him, whichever seems easier.
Yeah.
That's Waller in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's Waller. Yeah.
She says, I will not allow Task Force X to be compromised. And he says, you're talking murder here, Amanda, and I won't allow that. Ah, there's Flag. And she says, I'm talking national defense, Flag, you may not have any choice.
She's right.
Yeah, so she tells him, I leave the final decision up to you. You know what the stakes are. Trust you know what to do. And he's like, she's right. Damn her. When the time comes, I'll still have to do whatever I have to do to protect the project. Whatever I have to... God help me. And we swing back to the Lincoln Memorial, where Godfrey's having his whole thing, talking about the moment of the common man has finally arrived, the moment when we throw down the system, blah, blah, blah. And everyone's like, we're with you, Godfrey, down with the government, down with superheroes.
It's like they lifted it from X-Men.
Yeah. So Dr. Fate then shows up, and he's saying, you know, all men are truly created equal, answer to only one authority, true authority.
Oh.
Yeah. And Dr. Fate says, and we know who that authority is, don't we, Godfrey?
Yes, we do. Yeah. He's a bad, bad man. Bad man.
Yeah. So he says, wrong, Godfrey. Fate is never alone. Along the twisted paths I walk, others are ever at my side, in spirit, if not in fact. And he says, they are those who serve the cause of justice. And so we see, of course, Dr. Fate at the top there, Blue Beetle, Flash, Changeling, Batman, Captain Marvel, Black Canary, Guy Gardner, and Superman.
Yep.
And he says,
oh, look, it's almost the fallout of Justice League number one.
Yeah, basically. Almost. So he says, Guy Gardner says, greetings, Gordon. Looks like it's finally party time. Meanwhile, on Apocalypse, Darkseid sees this thing, and he says, behold, stranger, the curtain rises on the final act of our little drama. He says, there's still time for you to concede, you know. And Phantom Stranger says, no, these are the principles I've supported from the very beginning. And the heroic ideal is too much a part of humanity to ever be truly eradicated. He says, in the end, your previous plans to destroy Earth's heroic legends will prove fruitless.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, his thing isn't to necessarily to improve them or destroy them. He's just. Mm-hmm. You know, this is kind of Darkseid stuff. Yeah, so Darkseid's, you know, basically calling the Phantom Stranger out on this, and he says, to preserve their ideals, your heroes will either have to battle the very people they profess to protect, or else allow themselves to be destroyed by them. He says, either way, stranger, Darkseid wins.
Yep.
Because that's how he rolls.
Yeah, he rolls. Meanwhile
in Gotham City... There's trouble. Alex. Trouble with a capital T, and that rhymes with, and there's Robin.
Todd?
And,
Jason?
No. Yeah, Robin in a.
You better get used to those bandages, kid.
Yeah.
Better get used to being injured.
Dude, it's going to get much worse. So he says, I was the first to fall to before Godfrey's mindless mobs, but it looks like I won't be the last. Batman and the others are making a last stand against them. Well, I just lie here in comparative safety. Well, no more.
Mm-hmm.
So,
this kid's walking out of there with looking like a Tiny Tim on a good day.
Yeah, so he gets, you know, he gets out of what they've given him, and he's there in his costume, but with a huge...
How did he get his costume on with a busted arm and a busted leg?
He's that good.
He is that good.
Because he was trained by the Batman.
The Batman. And where did he keep his costume? In a hospital room while under sedation? These are the things I ask myself when I go to sleep. And then I realize, I don't care. So.
Yeah. So he's practically in traction, but he's not putting up with any of that. So off he goes.
And this issue gets continued into Cosmic Boy number 4.
Yeah, exactly.
Cosmic Boy is absent from Legends for now 2 issues, which is not a surprise because they're about to go with Wobbly Timey Wimey to someone we know very well as fans.
Yeah, so we'll definitely dig into that in the
in the future.
Yeah, in our next Darren and Paul's event theater.
I know, right?
Yeah. But so I'd say that this one is, it's time to wrap up on this. But yeah, so, you know, this very much, again, it's clear how much this was taking sort of the political climate around this time and applying it to the superhero thing. And just, again, the whole idea of this early portions of the post-crisis universe was, what would it be like if there were superheroes here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what the Marvel Universe built itself on. And you had some of the key architects being John Byrne and Marv Wolfman saying, yeah, what about that? And
what about that?
What about that? And then Joey Lawrence would come in every now and then and go, whoa. So, anyway, that's that kind of really puts that. That's really the only context you need for this issue of Legends is we have a bunch of superheroes who now have never met.
True.
And we have this situation of what would happen in the real world. And so it's that bringing them together. And of course, that's going to lead to Justice League, which will lead to JLI, which will lead to, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, because this is going on, Justice League of America is winding down.
Oh,
quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah, so there we have it.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go, kids, Legends 5. Boom.
Boom, baby.
Boom. All right, so comments, as always, are welcome at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. You can join in the conversation on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We are on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. And in addition to all these things, you can have it on our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. You can leave a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble, head back to the 21st century, because I want some of those cool Black Canary shoulder pads. And we
do you really? Do you really?
I don't know. That would say much about me, wouldn't it? And we will see you all next week.
The Impossibles!